Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three on this Tuesday, live right here on the Early Line. And on this Tuesday, it's a big day of soccer internationally. That's football. Semifinal action starts on this Tuesday afternoon at the European Championships, followed by semifinal action at Copa America for a nightcap. So let's not bury the lead. To start off this third and final hour, Mike DeCourcy from Sporting News is here to get you ready for both of the matches today and what remains in both of the international championships in these summer months of soccer. Mike, we appreciate the time. Thank you for being here on this Tuesday on the Early Line.
Oh, happy to join you, Ben.
So let's go around what we have seen so far in the UEFA Euro bracket here in 2024. Mike, we have reached a point with four international and European powerhouses still left standing in the European Championships. Spain, France, they face off in the first semifinal today. England and the Netherlands in the second semifinal. That will be tomorrow, Wednesday afternoon. What have you made so far of the Euros and how we have reached this point of four in the semifinals?
I got to be honest, it's been disappointing. The soccer has not been brilliant to watch. There have been moments like Jude Bellingham's bicycle kick to tie England in the round of 16 and force extra time. So there have been moments, but it's been fairly dull through most of the tournament. Not enough goals, not enough action, too much defense. I think we've seen a lot of caution in the Euros, and it's not been great to watch. Every time we see, though, a chance like a Spain-France, and we know the level of talents that's going to be on display, then we get excited about the possibility that, okay, this will be the game. So hopefully the semifinals with four great nations with great histories and great talent, hopefully they'll deliver on a higher level than the early rounds have.
Before we get into here, Mike, the games themselves, Spain, France, followed by Netherlands, England tomorrow. If we look at those four teams that are left, who has been in the best form in your eyes so far throughout this tournament?
I think it's been Spain. They've been the most consistent team. To be able to take an injury like they did to Pedre in the quarterfinals and really bounce back even stronger has shown how consistent they've been. They had to be elite to beat Germany playing at home, and they were. They've been the best team to this point, and I think that's why you see a lot of that reflected in the action and the odds. France has been there's been a lot of talk about England's poor form, and rightfully so, but France has been even poorer and probably from a higher level. France is a team that's considered to have the best talent in the world, and they've been even poorer than England, which is saying something.
France has drawn comparisons to football that we know here stateside in the college ranks. That would be the Iowa Hawkeyes. Not a lot of offense, and yet success reaching the semifinal round. It really hasn't been a ton of open play 90-minute goals throughout regulation, Mike, which brings us to our first semifinal on this Tuesday. Spain in France. The Spaniards are the favorites to win the European Championship at this moment, and the ever so slight favorites to advance to that final match. Minus 120, France on the other side, not all that far behind at minus 102. There are also the 90-minute money lines. That's just in regulation. Doesn't account for extra time or, of course, penalty shootouts. Mike, in your estimation, how do the Spanish and the French match up on this Tuesday afternoon at the semifinals?
Well, I think that what one of the things that Spain will find is that this is the most difficult defense they'll have encountered. While France has not been exciting, they have been really difficult to penetrate. They have been really difficult to even generate chances against. And Spain was very they were opportunistic against Germany. They were not great. That was probably their weakest performance to date, but they were very opportunistic in that game. The question is, how do they create if they don't get those opportunities? And that's why I kind of lean France a little bit here. At least whether or not they can do it in 90, I don't know. But I kind of lean France. If you give them 120 minutes, I think they're going to find a goal. And I'm not totally convinced that Spain is going to do that. So I do think that France's defense has been phenomenal. And I'm not sure about the keeping there. It's not what it was in 2018, but it's still they've still been really difficult to score against and even generate chances.
Mike, the outright odds here at the FanDuel Sportsbook to win this tournament, Spain at a plus 180 price, England at plus 260, France at plus 270, and the Netherlands at plus 500. Is it Spain in your eyes right now with the leader in the clubhouse at the plus 180 or anybody else down the board that you might be looking at here?
Well, if I were going to put a nickel on this, I'd go Netherlands because they're giving you phenomenal odds for a really good team. Netherlands has been a little bit sloppy, or at least sloppier than the others that are left. They've allowed goals to happen that probably shouldn't. But they've been really they've been a team that's been dynamic. They've been a team that's been able, especially Cody Gakpo coming in from the left side, has really opened up defenses. So when I'm playing or looking at those kinds of futures type odds, I kind of want value for that. I'm not going to put a lot of money on a team that's not going to reward me that much, especially when you look at a team like Spain, France, Germany, or England. All three of them are very similar in odds and very similar in chance to win it. They're all great teams. If they're going to give me that kind of value on the Netherlands, I don't know that I'd go big, but I think that it would be hard to resist the possibility that they could do this because I certainly think they're good enough.
The English a slight favorite over the Dutch tomorrow to advance at least to the Euro final and maybe for the first time in a long time have it all come home at minus 134. Now, Mike, we go to the nightcaps that we have on semifinal Tuesday. That's at a different tournament, sure, but in Copa America. It is Argentina, the reigning World Cup champs, taking on the plucky underdogs it would see in the Canadiens. Minus 750. For Messi in Argentina to advance to the Copa America final, Canada with that large plus money price at plus 420. David versus Goliath. Mike, that is what we are labeling this matchup between the Argentines and the Canadians. Is there any chance for our friendly neighbors from the Great White North to knock off Leo Messi and Argentina?
There's always a chance. But one of the interesting elements of this Copa America is how harsh the officiating has been on the North American teams. There are charts that will show you that for every for every four fouls committed by a North American team, they'll get a yellow card, where it's like for every 20 for a South American team. So it's another element that Canada has to go against. I don't like their chances here. They have not been prolific at all in regulation time. They've not been able to score. I don't see it happening against Argentina. And I do believe that Argentina is about ready to get it together. When you're the World Cup champion and you enter a tournament, although it's a very prestigious tournament and one that has great value in South America, it's still the world. You've still just won the World Cup. And I don't think you've seen the best of Argentina. And I don't think that that they needed to. Now I think you'll start to see it. Even though Canada's not an elite opponent, I think you'll see a serious performance from Argentina, and then we'll see the real Argentina in the final.
Argentina, as it is reflected in those odds, agreeing with Mike DeCourcy, minus 135 to win the Copa America title. Uruguay in front of Colombia in the outright odds, and yet Colombia an ever so slight favorite in the second semifinal that comes tomorrow night on a Wednesday evening. Mike DeCourcy from Sporting News joining us here on this Tuesday on the Early Line. Mike, we appreciate the breakdowns in both the Euros and Copa America. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Ben.
Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. Next, we go to the MLB Diamond, a full Tuesday slate around the big. We break it down for you next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A full Major League Baseball card on this Tuesday, and what a marquee midweek matchup we have in the city of brotherly love in Philadelphia. Donnie Wrightside's full attention on the bank, Citizens Bank Ballpark in Philly for the opener tonight between the Phillies and the Dodgers, the two best teams in the National League, the two best records, the two shortest prices to win the pennant, two of the three best numbers to win the World Series. Are we seeing an NLCS preview right here, right now, a week out from the All-Star break? The Phils with Zach Wheeler on the bump, a slight home favorite tonight at minus 142 against the LA Dodgers. 9 is the total. Again, DRS, I said I will check the numbers. I haven't done that just yet. I will right now. The Dodgers rarely booked as an underdog, so it shows what Philadelphia is capable of. What do you expect tonight for the first game of this midweek series between the Dodgers and the Phillies?
It's Zach Wheeler versus Bobby Miller. If you're the Phillies, you got to have this game. You had the day off yesterday here to sort of decompress. We're expected to get Kyle Schwarber back in that lineup at the top here, and he was on a mission before getting injured against the Miami Marlins. Now, also it has the anticipated lineup today, Bryce Harper. He's eligible to come off the IL. Most people don't think he's going to come off the IL for tonight's game, but Kyle Schwarber certainly should be able to do that. That's going to help, because the one thing that we do know about Bobby Miller, last 30 days of Major League Baseball, not a very good pitcher, particularly against left-handed batters. So if you want a nice soft landing spot for Kyle Schwarber to come back at home with 91-degree temperatures and a double-digit wind blowing out the dead center field, this is the night for Kyle Schwarber. The Phillies should get a good home start from Zach Wheeler. If we're taking a look at some of those betting splits that we like to take a look at, today on the card, let's 24-25 pitchers, let's just say, are ranked here. Home starter, Zach Wheeler is number 2. How about this, Ben? If you take a look at his season so far, a 1.76 ERA at home for Zach Wheeler. He should be able to hold down those bats despite being in a hitter's ballpark. Great hitting weather. He should be doing the job tonight. Bobby Miller, I don't think he can do that same job. The Phillies need this victory tonight, because if they lose this one tonight and the Braves win and you burn Zach Wheeler, and now you're going to get better pitchers on the mound for the Dodgers and have them say, hey, maybe we should be at the top of the mountain now in the NL. The Phillies got to have this one tonight, and I believe they get it done.
A 7.5 game lead still for the Phils atop the National League East. A 3.5 game difference for the Phillies in front of LA for that top spot overall in the National League. Of course, in the extended postseason bracket that we have come October in MLB, the top 2 seeds earn an opening round bye past the wild card round into the division series. Donnie, when you look at the numbers for both of these teams, the Dodgers have the second best record in the NL and yet remain the favorites at plus 150. The Phillies, the best record in the National League, all of Major League Baseball, second best price to win the National League, second best price to win the World Series. Is this the National League Championship Series that we will see come late October?
Undoubtedly it should be there. No question in my mind, because let's be honest with ourselves. The Philadelphia Phillies, we're not anticipating any devastating season-long injuries to happen. If they're healthy, they have the best starting staff and maybe the best 1-9 lineup in Major League Baseball and a quality bullpen. The Los Angeles Dodgers, they're going to get Mookie Betts back, who might be the best player in Major League Baseball. And they already have maybe the best player in Major League Baseball right now on their team in Shohei Ohtani. And we do know the Dodgers have endless prospects and endless cash flow where if they want to pick up the two best pitchers at the trade deadline in Major League Baseball that would be available, they can do that as well. We're not too long off for us. Hey, Dodgers, how can you prove yourself at the deadline? I don't know. Max Scherzer and Trey Turner in their prime at one time, they have the ability to do that. Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't Manny Machado at Los Angeles Dodger? I mean, it's insane how much talent that the Dodgers have had in the past just by making moves at the trade deadline.
It is. And they're probably going to do it again if they feel it is necessary to maybe fill out that frontline starting staff to keep up with Philadelphia, because that's where I give the edge to the Phils at this moment. Elsewhere, the Atlanta Braves, third best price to win the National League pennant at +450, $2 behind the Phils, $3 behind LA, continue their series out in Arizona, looking for their second consecutive win over the Diamondbacks, hoping for their fourth consecutive victory overall. We thought it was going to be Chris Sale yesterday. It is projected to be Chris Sale today. But with Sale on the bump yesterday, it was a -196 price against the Diamondbacks because the starter not all that illustrious. Today, Zach Gallen gets the start for Arizona, only -124, the updated number in favor of Atlanta.
Yeah, by the way, I might be taking a look at an underdog shot here today on the Diamondbacks. How could you do that against Chris Sale? Zach Gallen is a very good pitcher, and I'm still not trustworthy of that Atlanta Braves lineup. And also, maybe just looking at an under the total might be the best route. You take a look at that game last night, which we didn't have two spectacular pitchers on both sides. That game was 3-1 entering into the ninth inning. That's a stone-cold under that got tied up, and a couple extra runs and extras pushed that one over the total. I don't think that's actually going to happen in this game. I would look towards the under and also a slight underdog price on Zach Gallen at home in a bounce-back performance here against the Atlanta Braves.
+106, now that updated number on Arizona. 7.5 is the total. Of course, they went to extras yesterday, 11 innings to go over the game total of 8 in a hook after Chris Sale was bumped. Sale has been sensational this year, by the way. Just truly outstanding. Almost a career renaissance, or do we say renaissance here? Renaissance for Chris Sale this year in the ATL because of what he has done for the Braves. 11-3 with a 2.71 ERA. Second best price on Sale to win the National League Cy Young Award at this moment. Donnie, Sale has allowed just one earned run in each of his last three starts. That's why the total 7.5 in Phoenix today.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a good point that you bring up here, but let's also bring up the point over the last 30 days. This has been a very good hitting team for the Arizona Diamondbacks against left-handed pitching. We'll see if that plays out. I still don't think, what's that mean, a lot of hits? Two runs, three runs off of Chris Sale, so I still do think that this game does stay under the total, but we do need a pronunciation here because it is renaissance in the United States, I guess. In Scotland, maybe the way that they pronounce the country club name will be different. We need an official ruling on that, so maybe we can get somebody behind the scenes to check that one out for us.
It felt like Donnie announcing the game tomorrow, the Wednesday semifinal in Copa America between Colombia and who?
Uruguay.
Beautiful.
That's my team.
Renaissance Golf Club, a renaissance for Chris Sale, and more MLB breakdowns next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The New York Yankees in the last month or so of Major League Baseball have been in a tailspin, once the best in the bigs, 50-22 on June 14th, nearly 30 games above .500. They have lost 15 of their last 20 from that time. They, in fact, lost the weekend against their bitter rivals and AL East divisional foes, the Boston Red Sox. Can the Yankees find their footing once again down in Florida in the Trop against the Rays? -130, the price for the Yanks as a slight road favorite, although the line is now working. -122 against the Pinstripes today in the opener against the Rays. 8 is the over-under. Will the Yankees, DRS, ahead of the All-Star break with just 6 games left until we get to the break, start playing better baseball?
they better start playing better baseball, because this isn't like, hey, let's not let our lead dwindle here, Ben. It's not let us get behind five games before we get to the break, when just a few short weeks ago, we were in full control of this division. But if we are taking a look at the pitching matchup over the last 60 days, Ben, how about this? 103 and 103 xFIP minus numbers for each pitcher here, Carlos Rodon and Ryan Pepiot on the mound today. If we are taking a look at some of those numbers, which are troubling for Rodon, the one thing that we do like here is this game is not being played in the Bronx for Rodon, where it might be 90 degrees with the wind blowing out. You're playing at the Trop, which is one of the better pitcher's ballparks in Major League Baseball. Having said that, look at his last 30 days, 122 batters he's faced, a 279 ISO and a 426 weighted on base percentage combined. And also, both lefties and righties pounding him as a pitcher, which is tough because you take a look at the lineup, it's not very good for Tampa Bay, but they've done well against left-handed pitching with a couple guys here, Ben. Yandy Diaz, Randy Arozarena, Isaac Paredes, and Jose Siri crushing left-handed pitching over the past month. Flip it over to the New York Yankees. Of course, we have the steady players. You take a look at Ryan Pepiot. Over the last 30 days, 51 batters he's faced as a right-handed pitcher against lefties, a 279 ISO and a 429 weighted on base percentage. So then you would look at Ben Rice at the top of that lineup, Juan Soto, Alex Verdugo, Austin Wells are some of those guys that you want to put in the mix here for RBI opportunities. And certainly you're not going to leave out Aaron Judge, who, no matter lefty or righty pitchers, he's been crushing them. But that offense for me really has to turn up. It's not a great place for them to turn up. This is a true coin flip, and the Yankees really need a victory. Maybe if you're looking and saying, okay, both of these pitchers, even though it's a pitching environment here, can be hit here. The xFIP minus numbers slightly over above average. Two of these lineups making some sense here. Maybe an over makes sense, but I can't just say the Yankees need it. They have to win here. They haven't shown me much here, Ben, over the past week, week and a half.
No, they certainly have not. The Yanks, a road favorite, but now three games back of Baltimore for the top spot in the American League East. And oh, by the way, they will end the first half, or at least the part of the season prior to the All-Star break, against Baltimore in Baltimore inside Camden Yards this weekend before the All-Star break starts on Monday. Speaking of those O's, they're in Camden. They're feeling pretty good, and they're a minus 154 favorite today to start off their midweek set against the Chicago Cubs. What do you like today in the Charm City?
Yeah, this isn't setting up all that well for the Chicago Cubs right now. Certainly not playing great baseball. But if you're just going 1 through 9 on each roster that's supposed to be in the starting lineup tonight, it's by a mile the Baltimore Orioles. If you take a look at Jameson Taillon, he actually has some pretty good statistics on the season. And particularly here, Ben, over the past 30 days, 125 batters he's faced, a 126 ISO, and a 250 weighted on base percentage. Why? He's been filthy against left-handed batters, but struggling just a bit against righties, and you got some pretty good power bats. But having said that, the one thing that you typically like about the Orioles and why they're so good at the plate is a lot of left-handed batters and a lot of switch hitters to go up against those right-handed pitchers. Just take a look at the first four guys in that lineup. Gunnar Henderson, Adley Rutschman, Anthony Santander, and Ryan O'Hearn will be all lefties, followed by Westberg, who's a righty. Then you jump right back to Kjerstad there as a lefty, and also still in that lineup, Cedric Mullins in the 8-hole. This is a predominantly left-handed lineup. When I just told you that Jameson Taillon has been filthy against left-handed batters, look at the temperatures, though. Here's what's tough. I just told you about Philadelphia. Almost identical conditions, Ben. 91 degrees at first pitch, double-digit winds blowing out in a hitter's ballpark. But I look at this game to myself and say, I don't know what I'm getting out of the Cubs at the plate. I know I'm going to get decent at-bats for the Orioles. Maybe an under. They need 10 to hit that total. Maybe it stays under the 9.5 here.
We had a big-time under yesterday in Detroit. The Tigers, watch out. One of the hottest teams in MLB. Winners of four in a row. They knocked off the AL's best team yesterday, the Guardians. Cleveland now 56-33, a half game behind Baltimore for that best record. The O's 57-33 in the American League. 1-0 yesterday was the final as the Tigers were victorious. Today, the total 8.5. And the Guardians, a road favorite in the Motor City once again. Some NBA offseason conversations by the Bay up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
throughout this NBA summer, there has been some big changes by the Bay for the Golden State Warriors. And covering the Dubs for Locked On Warriors, Kylan Mills joins us here on this Tuesday on the Early Line to look at the state of Golden State and what the rest of the offseason has to hold for the Warriors. Kylan, we appreciate the time. Thank you for being here on this Tuesday on the Early Line to have some fun summer offseason conversations around the association.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Fun? I don't know about if we're having fun yet in the Bay, seeing Klay Thompson leave and waiting for the big addition. I still got my fingers crossed. They've got a big signing that's coming, but we'll say fun. Yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah. Kylan, I would say that's a very fair point that you bring up right there, because it is a new era in Golden State as we say goodbye to what we have known for more than a decade. After 13 seasons with the Warriors, one of the Splash Brothers is now in Dallas. That is Klay Thompson. 13 seasons, a five-time NBA All-Star, a four-time NBA champion with Steph and Draymond Green to boot. Kylan, how will you remember the legacy of Klay Thompson as a Golden State Warrior? I believe we're having some technical difficulties there. Yeah, Donnie, you want to take it for the time being?
Look, I think Klay Thompson was instrumental over the past couple years here with the Golden State Warriors. But by the way, the questions also that I wanted to ask on this topic as well, like Klay Thompson was a certainly an integral part there. But moving on and seeing those Steve Kerr interviews, right, where he coached him 10 out of his 13 years for the Golden State Warriors. And the fact of the matter is, yeah, things are going to change. Like, it's like when you have like, hey, look, I've been here 3-4 years, 10 years that you've coached a player that you know is going to be a Hall of Fame guy. And as Steve Kerr says, you know, going back to he is going to have a statue out front of this arena sooner than later. But also, he didn't retire, right, Ben? Like, he went to the Dallas Mavericks, who are going to be a rival. Right. And now the Dallas Mavericks expect to make a run, because I think the equivalent of Klay Thompson staying with the Warriors, we thought maybe he'd be a Warrior for life. He didn't retire. Now he's with the Mavericks. I think that's what the interesting part's going to be, is he's going to play the Warriors several times next year, just in the regular season. How awkward that's probably going to be, specifically when he returns back to San Francisco.
I think they'll welcome him back ceremoniously because of what legacy was in the Bay Area. And, of course, being a part of this golden era for the Warriors, a four-time NBA champ. But I do think you bring up an interesting point, because at the end of 13 NBA seasons, what else does Klay Thompson have to add from an impactful NBA and basketball standpoint? I would still say he makes a big difference for the Dallas Mavericks in terms of elevating their status as a Western Conference contender. Of course, the champions of the West this past season. And I think Klay is a beneficial addition. But I think for Golden State, it's not like, oh my God, we just lost our second superstar, that without him, we cannot chase an NBA championship. So it's the celebration of what he has done for 13 years, and I'm sure some sadness and maybe some bitterness that he is no longer a Golden State Warrior, but not necessarily the biggest blow, perhaps from a basketball perspective, at least my estimation.
No, you're correct about that, too. And also, you know, where he fits in with the Dallas Mavericks, I think it's a perfect landing spot, because so many times players really wear out their welcome and they're not worth that paycheck. But we knew hitting the open market, there will be some teams that Klay Thompson was going to go to where he would fit like a glove. And we've talked about it many times, Ben. If you're looking around the NBA for an organization to go to where you can fit right in and help them win a championship, certainly the Dallas Mavericks were that place to be. So, wishing Klay Thompson that luck, and I think he gets some luck here, and I'm excited to see what he does with the Dallas Mavericks.
Enough of our opinion. We don't live by the Bay. We don't cover the Warriors. No. Kylan Mills is back here on this Tuesday on the Early Line. Kylan, thank you for bearing through some of the technical difficulties. We appreciate you here on TEL. Not sure what you heard of our discussion or the question I asked you to begin, but as we look back on the 13 years for Klay Thompson, my question was, how would you describe his legacy? I ask you the same one, Klay Thompson's time with the Warriors.
Clay Thompson and Ben, glad to be back with you. Clay Thompson is beloved in the Bay Area. There's no question they are going to build a statue right after the news really broke that he was going to be departing the Golden State Warriors for the Dallas Mavericks. The team did issue a statement saying his jersey is going to be retired. Not that that was in question, but they wanted to make it a point to put it out there. Everyone has said, you know, thank you, Clay. His legacy is four championships. At the end of the day, what this Golden State Warriors core did is something that's incredible. Four titles in 8 years. I mean, it's a dynasty. It's an absolute dynasty. And then you look at, I think what really makes this Warriors core special, and I don't know if this really ties into legacy, but was just how much Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green genuinely liked each other, enjoyed each other. Like, that's one thing that 100% has stood out to me as a media member, because you cover teams at the level, the professional level, and sure, you have players who are teammates, but those three genuinely enjoyed spending time together. It was something right after the 2022 title run that was pointed out by former general manager Bob Myers. He's like, those three still sit on the plane together every single trip. After 13 years, you just don't see that in the NBA and in professional sports, for three stars of a team and of an organization to enjoy and love being around each other. And that's something that did not change. So one thing that will really stick with me about just this past generation and what we saw from the Warriors is the culture, the environment, and that bond between that big three, I do think is something that hasn't been seen before in that way.
When we take a look at turning the page here, Colin, sometimes it's hard to do with superstar players beloved, as you said, by the franchise. It's not that long ago that we saw them make five straight finals, which include wins of 67, 73, 67, 58, and 57. But the question I want to ask you now is, we're hearing Steph Curry talk about this. Hey, if they let Klay go, I don't know if I'm going to be a Golden State Warrior for life, which we all wanted to be. What's the future for Steph Curry for the Warriors looking like now that with Klay Thompson escaping the Bay Area, is there a chance that he might be doing the same thing in a few years as well?
There is nothing more paramount to this organization than keeping Steph Curry in the Bay. It's not the same situation, unfortunately, as Klay Thompson. Steph Curry has transcended sport, has transcended basketball. The greatest three-point shooter of all time, to some, the greatest shooter and a top 10 NBA player, according to a lot of folks' metrics, when you look at the history of a very, very long-standing league. So there is nothing more important to this organization than keeping Steph Curry in the Bay. Yeah, you've got some people who are saying, is Steph side-eyeing this front office now? Because, let's not forget, reports came out and Steph has acknowledged that despite Klay asking him not to speak with the front office and get involved in his contract negotiations, Steph did. He tried to use his influence. He said, I told the front office, I want Klay to stay, and that's not what happened. So there is a little bit of discussion like, hey, you know, is he side-eyeing the front office now? And then the statement comes out where he's saying, well, at the end of the day, yeah, I want to and plan to stay a Golden State Warrior, but look what happened with Klay. Anything's possible. I do think that he's going to stay with the Golden State Warriors. I believe that Steph Curry is going to retire a Warrior, and I think that is a major priority to this organization. We saw with Klay Thompson, it wasn't a priority. Steph Curry is a priority. So I do think there is a difference there between one Splash Brother to the other.
Steph Curry drafted 7th overall way back in 2009. Klay Thompson 11th overall 2 years later. And Draymond Green in the second round the following draft. In the last 12 years, you saw the stats right there. 6 NBA Finals appearances, 4 Larry O'Brien trophies, the best regular season record, the most playoff victories, and the best postseason record in the association in that time. So now it's how Golden State moves forward. Kylan, 40 seconds left in this segment. Maybe if you will, we could stick around and continue the conversation on the other side of the break. But some of the acquisitions so far, Kyle Anderson, Buddy Hield. What else needs to happen this offseason for the Dubs?
The Warriors need a consistent secondary score. They need to bring in a bigger star than a Buddy Hield, De'Anthony Melton, Kyle Anderson, anyone on that list. The big problem for the Dubs last season is that Klay Thompson was inconsistent. His numbers were down, averaging right about 18 points per game. They need someone who's going to reliably score 20-plus and to give Steph Curry the help he needs. You have to space the floor. You have to have other threats to keep offenses honest. So there's got to be some help brought in for Steph. I love Lauri Markkanen. Ben, that's where my head's at.
To the break we go next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
live right here on this Tuesday on the early line on Sports Grid. Kylan Mills joins us at least for a couple of more minutes for a second consecutive segment to look at the outlook by the Bay for Golden State. Now, Kylan, you mentioned Lauri Markkanen. Here are the moves that have been made by the Warriors organization so far this offseason. Of course, Klay Thompson in a sign-and-trade dealt to Dallas. Chris Paul was waived earlier this offseason. The acquisitions of Buddy Hield, of Kyle Anderson. They signed De'Anthony Melton as well. And you mentioned Lauri Markkanen. What are the chances, would you say, the Dubs end up with Markkanen next season?
I've been talking to a lot of my friends with the Utah Jazz who cover the team. It's anybody's guess at this point. Is Danny Ainge, like, is he letting on? Is this a poker face? Like, what realistically does this Jazz organization want? Now, it is reported that the Warriors have a serious pick-heavy offer in. Part of the problem is the Warriors don't have as many picks as some of the other teams that might be bidding for Lauri Markkanen. But I do think the Warriors are serious about wanting to bring him in. They've said all offseason they plan on making major moves. Well, I think those three players you saw are good moves. They're ancillary pieces. They need a key piece. They need a secondary star to go alongside Steph Curry. I love Lauri Markkanen because you're talking about a seven-footer on a team that is undersized who can shoot the three ball on a team that wants to spread the floor. Right now, the Warriors have Kevon Looney and Draymond Green starting in their front court. That's a big problem because you don't have to guard those two. They're not offensive threats, although I will say Draymond Green shot his best three-point shooting percentage of his career this past season, 40%. So he was actually good for at least like one three a game. But generally, because Kevon Looney and Draymond Green aren't elite attacking players, it allows defenses to collapse. They can double-team other places, and it just creates more clogged in the lane, and it just creates more issues for the Warriors, tougher for other guys to get open. So I think adding a Lauri Markkanen would be a great addition for this Golden State Warriors team. Will it happen? That's the big question, because there were reports out in the Paul George discussions that the Warriors were unwilling to deal Jonathan Kuminga, and that's going to be the big sticking point. Is this Jazz team set on bringing in Jonathan Kuminga? Is that going to be the thing that determines whether this deal goes on or not? And that's something a lot of folks in the media and the fan base are split on. Are you willing to give up Jonathan Kuminga to bring in a Lauri Markkanen or another secondary star?
Kyle, we appreciate the time. Thank you for being here on this Tuesday. Kylan Mills doing great work covering the Golden State Warriors, calling games everywhere for pretty much every network as well. Kylan, thank you so much. Have a great rest of your Tuesday.
Yes, thanks for having me. Appreciate it, guys.
It was a pleasure having you here. Now we turn our attention from basketball back to the baseball diamond. A full Tuesday card around MLB. DRS, we talked about this game. We showed the odds early for the matchup in the Motor City between the Guardians and the Tigers. One zip. That was the victory yesterday for Detroit. Four straight wins for the Tigers, and they scored the lone run of the game on a throwing error that allowed Jake Rogers to cross home plate and give the Tigers the victory. What might we see today in the Motor City?
Yeah, you better see some offense here for the Cleveland Guardians. You take a look at Kenta Maeda, certainly not one of those pitchers that you're looking to back on the bump. Now, granted, over the past 30 days, he has been a little bit better than the full season schedule. If we take a look at his full season, Ben, 277 batters he's faced, a 226 ISO and a 378 weighted on base percentage combined. That's not very good. If we take a look at him and just go some of those home splits that he has, it's been an average season for him. A 371 ERA, which isn't bad, but a 4.5 plus number here on his xFIP number. So we should get more than zero runs today for the Cleveland Guardians. I mean, come on now. Ben Lively on the opposite side, who's going to get the start here for the Guardians, has some decent numbers, particularly against left-handed batters over the past 30 days, Ben. An 069 weighted on base ISO power number and a 275 weighted on base percentage here. They should win today. They should have won yesterday. But if Kenta Maeda goes five or six innings pitched with two run earns or less, that should be troubling here for the Guardians. But I don't think that happens. I think the bats wake up today for the Guardians, and they put them away.
A little Midwest rivalry matchup for a two-game set under the arch. The Show Me State Showdown in St. Louis, Missouri. It's the Cardinals hosting the Royals in St. Louis. A slight favorite for the opener of this two-game midweek set today. Minus 118, that money line. Number 7.5 is the over-under. What do you like in St. Louis?
Yeah, well, take a look at Michael Wacha on the mound today. Let's start Michael Wacha here, Kansas City Royals. Here's the issue. 70-degree temperatures, which, again, isn't freezing, but we look at the East Coast here, Ben, 95-plus temperatures and wind blowing out. Rain in the forecast, which includes thunderstorms and also blowing in from left field, 15-mile-an-hour-plus sustained winds. Not great for the ball to carry. And Waka, over the past 30 days, very good, Ben. A 133 ISO power number to weighted on-base percentage of 275 through 68 batters. That's really, really good against a Cardinals lineup that has been okay as of late. If we take a look at the other side, how about Andrew Pallante? 103 batters, Ben, he's faced over the past 30 days. Get this, an 096 ISO and a 294 weighted on-base percentage. And if we just take a look at lefty batters, since he's a righty pitcher, an 065 ISO and a 240 weighted on base percentage. That's good. Now, granted, take a look at that Kansas City lineup. Against right-handed pitching over the past month, they've been really good. Adam Frazier due to lead off tonight, not so good. But after that, Witt, Pasquantino, Perez, Massey, Renfro, Melendez, and Kyle Isbell, everybody above their ISO power number of 165, which is above average in Major League Baseball. That'll be interesting to watch. But if I'm just looking at Waka on the mound on one side, Pallante on the other side, wind blowing in with some rainy conditions and not all that hot out in Kansas City, St. Louis, let's take a look at some of those unders today in that ballpark.
To Mizzou we go, and now out west we go to San Diego. Yep. The Padres, they have won 12 of their last 17 games. The Mariners, opposite end of that coin, they have dropped 9 of their last 13, holding on by the strings to a 2-game lead in the American League West. And yet the Mariners, a road favorite today with the all-star Logan Gilbert on the bump at a -138 money line price. Total of 7.5 in Southern California. What's the breakdown between the M's and the Padres?
We got a big mismatch on the mound here. Now, granted, you still need an offensive lineup to take care of that mismatch. We'll get to that in just a few moments here. But Logan Gilbert has been very good. Past 60 days, you take a look at a 3.75 ERA and equate that to a 3.65 xFIP number. He should be just fine in San Diego, a true pitcher's ballpark. Over the past 30 days, a 146 ISO and a 235 weighted on base percentage. Flip it over quickly to Adam Mazur. He does nothing good right now. And the worst pitcher on the card last 60 days, Ben, a 7.52 ERA coupled with a 6.12 xFIP. Get out of town.
More baseball breakdown than a best bet next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
For already like the fourth time this year, Blake Snell is back tonight in San Francisco for the Giants. This mic is going crazy right now. Blake Snell gets the start by the Bay for the Giants against the Toronto Blue Jays. The overall record for Blake Snell this year in six total starts, 0-3 with a 9.51 ERA. He started the year in April, got shelled in three outings, 15 earned runs, missed a month till the end of May. Wasn't great there in two starts, 7 earned in total. His most recent, June 2nd at home against the Yankees. Now it's been over a month, and Blake Snell is back again. What can we expect out of Snell in San Francisco tonight?
Hopefully good things, but let's also take a look at the opposite side with the Toronto Blue Jays. You take a look at that price point here, -122. Say, hold on now. Blake Snell versus Yusei Kikuchi, and the home team is the Giants, and we're not favored by more than that, raises some eyebrows. And also, let's take a look at the analytical approach, Ben, versus the non-analytical approach. What has already happened on the field? Not is what we had the expectations, right? 99 batters over the past 30 days for Yusei Kikuchi. A 242 ISO power number and a 387 weighted on base percentage. And get this, to left-handed batters. He's a left-handed pitcher. A 458 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 462 over his last 26 batters. That is insane for a lefty going up against left-handed batters. Right-handed batters, still decent, 164 ISO, which is right about average, but a 361 weighted on base percentage. But let's take a look at the season and encapsulate it here, Ben. You take a look at that. It is a 346 xFIP number for road starts for Yusei Kikuchi. So what's going to give tonight? Is it the most recency bias that we have over the past 100 batters and say he should get hammered? And also, the first four guys in the lineup tonight, all right-handed batters. Soler, Matos, Ramos, and Chapman, everybody's elevated with ISO power numbers. They should get to him. But also, as you talked about, what are we getting out of Blake Snell tonight? On the season, 119 batters faced. Not very good. But this is a start coming back after an extended layoff. You can't just sit back and say he's going to be his dominant self. dominant as in what? He wasn't that dominant before he went to the IL, now coming back. This is one of those games I'm probably going to sit out at this point because Kikuchi, yeah, decent numbers on the road. Snell, I have no idea what he's going to do. It might have been different, but I was like, man, he was on top of the world pitching before he went to the IL. That never was the case with Snell this year.
No, he's given up at least 3 earned runs in all 6 starts that he has made. He's 0-3 with a 9.51 ERA. Let's get to one final game before we give you a best bet. In Houston, the Astros, a -225 favorite against one of the worst teams in the National League. That's the Miami Marlins, and you see that large money line distinction. 8.5 is the total. DRS on FanDuel, it says the Astros have yet to name their starter. What are you seeing?
It looks like Ronel Blanco is what we're gathering right now. Blanco certainly is a better pitcher this season, or at least the last 60 days, than Trevor Rogers. If you take a look at Trevor Rogers, a 115 xFIP minus number, and that equates to an xFIP of 4.60, so not very good. But if we are taking a look at that lineup, Blanco, if he is the starter, he's done fairly well over the past 30 days. 122 batters he's faced, a 260 weighted on base percentage, which is pretty good. And you take a look at that lineup, boy, it leaves a lot to be desired here, Ben, for the Marlins. So for my money, of course, you're thinking a -200 favorite or better is going to win. But having said that, maybe even looking at more of an under at this point in this game. But no real feel for this other than, yes, the Astros should win.
Houston lost the final 2 games of its weekend set in Minneapolis against the Twins to lose that series. But before the final 2, including the opener against Minnesota, they had won 13 of their last 15. Now, before we say farewell, it's time for a best bet. Before we say goodbye, here's bye-bye-bye. A full Major League Baseball card on this Tuesday. What is the best of all the baseball bets in Donnie's estimation?
It's Stinger Tuesday here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Let's keep with the home runs. We're going to go that launch pad up in Boston. Joey Estes can't get left-handed batters out, so you know who we're squaring up here. That's Rafael Devers. And how about over the past 65 at-bats against right-handed pitching? A 411 ISO power number, a +210 price today for Rafael Devers to hit a home run in Boston. It's a low price for a reason. He's going yard tonight, boys.
DRS, I love the look. It's Stinger Tuesday. Let me give you one as well. Why not?
Let's go.
Gunnar Henderson, +450 Ooh. For the Orioles. You said it's warm in Camden, right? Against Jameson Taillon?
It's warm, baby. It's warm.
We'll take a look at that. I also think the Guardians bounce back. Don't think you're paying the most on that money line. -144 on the road in Detroit. Elsewhere, WNBA, only one game tonight, late night in Los Angeles. The Sparks and the Lynx. Minnesota's already won a championship this year, the Commissioner's Cup, and yet they're only a 5.5-point favorite in L.A.? Smells a little fishy to me. He's Donnie Wrightside. I'm Ben Stevens. We'll see you tomorrow, Wednesday, 8 a.m. Eastern time, here on the Early Line.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,